Chapter 20. When to Worry. Red Alert and Warning Signs. When it comes to investments, we are reminded that past performance may not be indicative of future results. But with people, you can expect that past performance may well indicate future results. In his book, Inside the Criminal Mind, noted criminologist Stanton Samnow explains, "It is impossible to commit a crime that is out of character. It would be like asking a building to fly. It is not within the building's nature to do so." He expounds that even the perpetrator who commits a crime of passion, where he appears to lose control and commits a single unplanned crime, has much in common with the calculating cold-blooded murderer. He writes, "Blustery, inflexible, and impatient, each demand that others do what he wants. They may flare up at even minor slights. Instead of coping constructively with unpleasant situations, they compound their problems. When frustrated or disappointed, they blame others. The out-of-character crime may be preceded by a long series of threats or assaults that were hushed up or disregarded by the family. Despite appearances, when the homicide is finally committed, it is by a person to whom violence is no stranger." People don't just snap. There are almost always identifiable behaviors that will allow you to know when violence may be looming. To start, ask yourself the following questions about your subject. 1. When angered, does he lash out at inanimate objects, punching walls, throwing objects, or engage in symbolic destruction, such as ripping photos, destroying documents, or throwing his wedding ring? 2. Does she tend to make threats or use violence in an attempt to resolve conflict or to get her way? 3. Does he overreact to little things and assume others have a personal motive for crossing him? For instance, if the secretary gives him the wrong information or someone relays poor instructions, does he become enraged, believing their motivation was intentional and personal? 4. Is she cruel to animals, or for that matter, to people? Does she say hurtful things or seek to embarrass or humiliate others, particularly those who cannot easily defend themselves? 5. Has he not moved up the corporate ladder, and does he show frustration with his lack of progress? Does he feel that no one appreciates his contributions, or feels that others take credit for his work, and that everyone is out to get him? And 6. Has there been a sudden decline in her attitude, performance, or behavior? Does she suddenly seem disinterested and unaffected by the goings-on at work or at home? Although these indications will give you advanced warning for any pending concerns, do not underestimate the role of drugs and alcohol. Research finds that 31% of people who had both a substance abuse disorder and a psychiatric disorder committed at least one act of violence in a year, compared with 18% of people with a psychiatric disorder alone. Likewise, being a young male or a substance abuser puts you at a greater risk for violent behavior than being mentally ill, and combining the risk factors points to an even greater statistical propensity. Beyond this, if someone talks at all about being fed up or sick and tired of everyone and everything, or generally about a plan to get even or solve his problems, be alert. Of course, you should be extra vigilant if he has detailed plans to commit acts of violence, speaks about settling debts or getting respect, and has easy access to a weapon. Other troubling indicators include if he even jokes or comments about weapons or settling the score, displays pervasive anger and frustration, or utters statements of hopelessness, or has a litany of endless grievances, either articulated or formally filed in the workplace or in the courts. All of these, individually and certainly collectively, point to bubbling frustration and a greater likelihood for violence. Leading threat analysis expert Gavin De Becker created the four-point scale JACA, which stands for its four main features, to evaluate the likelihood that a threat will be carried out. J for justification. We first consider whether the person likely feels he is justified to use violence to inflict pain, harm, or death. A. For alternatives. We then view whether the person feels he has options other than violence to achieve his means. If violence seems like the only way for him to get justice, he will evaluate the consequences. C. For consequences. He assesses the likely repercussions of resorting to violence and weighs whether the probable outcome, injury, death, jail, is worth it. And A. For ability. Whether his plans for revenge remain a fantasy or turn into a horrid reality hinges on whether he feels he has the means and ability to carry out the threat. If he believes that he does, he will likely move forward. Linguistic analysis provides another layer of insight. The following passage is a real-life writing sample that is full of qualifiers but lacks a single retractor. See Chapter 5 for elaboration. Findings show that this language pattern suggests that once an answer to a problem has been found, there may be no turning back. It is also written with detachment, see Chapter 12, which tells us that he has already distanced himself from his actions. Not long after this note was written, its author murdered his wife. I now find myself with a definitive problem which I wish I could find the answer to, and there doesn't seem to be any definitive answer within myself. The problem within me is something that I do not completely understand, whether or not it's myself or the real thing. I keep playing with the idea that maybe that's the trouble. Maybe I should distract my mind and get my mind on interest of something else, of another nature, that I may be able to completely get the thought out of my mind. I think maybe if I go back to my artwork and concentrate on different phases of learning it, that maybe I come into my interests and alleviate the problem for my mind. Do everything I can to cooperate with anyone I can that might be able to help me with this problem, and that the thing may find an answer for itself. In any situation where you feel something is just not right, trust your instincts. You don't need to point to a reason. Your subconscious has picked up on a threat that your conscious mind has dismissed. To protect yourself, you have to learn to trust yourself. A threat to oneself. Although mental illness does not correlate with violence, suicidal thoughts and behaviors are commonly found at increased rates among individuals with either affective or personality disorders. Suicidal people need professional help, period, ideally before they become so depressed and hopeless that suicide is an option. The fact that someone is in crisis does not necessarily mean he's on the brink of suicide. These warning signs will help you evaluate the risk. We can apply the same Jaka scale here as well. If the person expresses the following sentiments, be on high alert. Justification. Life isn't worth living. The pain is too much, and besides, everyone, my family, friends, and loved ones, would be better off without me. Alternatives. There is nothing I can do to make it better, and I feel like there is no way out. Consequences. I won't be around to deal with anything afterward. Ability. I have access to or intend to obtain weapons or pills. I have made plans and have gotten my affairs in order. I've paid off debts and given away my personal possessions. A suicidal gesture is a suicide attempt in which the person has no intent to die. For example, the person may take a non-lethal dose of sleeping pills or cut themselves in ways not likely to cause imminent death. The intent of a suicidal gesture is generally to express despair or helplessness or utter a cry for help in an effort to improve one's life, not to die. In some cases, a suicidal gesture may be an attempt to make a dramatic statement or get even with someone. That said, intentional self-harm, even without suicidal intent, is associated with a long-term risk for committing suicide. Suicidal attempts and gestures can look a lot alike. A suicidal attempt may be a failed suicide, For example, the person ingested a bottle of pills with the intent to die, but someone intervened, called an ambulance, and the person woke up alive in the hospital, having had their stomach pumped. We can never know when a person will make that fateful decision to take drastic and destructive action. But two indicators brightly illuminate the already lit warning sign. Major stressor. In our own lives, whether we reach for a carton of ice cream or a bottle of wine, or engage in otherwise self-destructive behavior, it's generally the result of a stressor. Most violent behavior follows a stressor, too, which invariably boils down to feeling overwhelmed, submerged by our thoughts and emotions. A stressor may present as any number of issues, a recent financial or personal crisis, such as a bankruptcy, a separation, a restraining order, a custody battle or hearing, a run-in with the police, a firing or demotion, and the like. Any significant negative shift in his life or lifestyle, combined with other factors, is legitimate cause for concern. The copycat effect. Recent news stories and media coverage about workplace violence can trigger others to act similarly when they identify with the perpetrator and share his frustrations. The impact of social influence is even more concerning and disturbing in an age when technology streams the world to our fingertips. The media calls it the copycat effect, but to psychologists, it's the Werther effect. It is based on the principle that human beings use others' actions to decide what is proper behavior for themselves. For example, when people learn of another's suicide, a number of them decide that suicide may make sense for them too. Oddly, even some who were not actively planning to end their lives. Some will commit suicide without caring that people know they killed themselves, but others do not want their deaths to appear to be suicides. Thus, research has shown that 3 days following a report in the media about a suicide, the rate of automobile fatalities increases by 31%. This chilling effect extends beyond numbers, in that fatalities are most frequent in the region where the suicide story is publicized. And the more similar we are to the victim, the more likely we are to be influenced due to ego identification. Hence, when the media reports that a young person has committed suicide, the number of crashes by young people increases. When news about an older person committing suicide is reported, the number of crashes by older individuals increases. Pay particular attention then when someone voices empathy or understanding for such actions. For example, there's only so much a person can take. Or, I'm sure he tried other ways to cope, but just ran out of options. Ernest Hemingway writes, "When people talk, listen completely. Most people never listen." Someone who presents a danger to themselves or to others is screaming in pain. If you listen for it, you will hear it, loud and clear.